Hello, listeners, and welcome back. I'm imagining you're wondering why I'm doing the introduction this week. That's because the only time I can do the introduction is when David is dead. Or in Budapest. He's in Budapest doing the thing that he does as a career, which is stand-up comedy, if you didn't know already. So, due to David's absence, we had friend of the podcast Mike Shepherd on this week to co-host with me. And in a moment, we'll be talking to the lovely Jamali Maddox. I'm sorry if you can hear a lot of background noise, but there was an active and live show going on. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and don't forget to follow us at BYC Podcast on Twitter or find us on Facebook. Say hello, say goodbye, say nothing at all. Just give us a follow. Doesn't matter to you, does it? Doesn't mean anything. It's all just kilobytes. Oh, and saying that, I shall release the... I get to release the terabytes! Okay, Oh, no, they're out. Oh, David, ring David. Ring David, the terabyte... David, the terabytes are loose. So hi, Molly.
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
I'm good, fam. How are you?
I'm good. So what are you doing down the club this evening? You're not on tonight, are
no,
you?
No, I was just coming to see my friend, and then you've obviously had a booking error, and I was here, so you dragged me into a dark little room.
Yeah, that's well.
For banter.
Yeah, well, we
that's
just
what
saw,
we're doing.
There's some
time. I'm happy to be here, because I was talking to Dave about it. Dave asked me to do it, but we couldn't get the dates right, so yeah, I'm here, man.
Yeah, it's nice to actually have you on.
Yeah.
Seen a bit of your work before as well, and obviously you do a bit of TV as well as...
Yeah, got a TV show, I've got a documentary series.
Yeah, that's on Viceland, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm on the second season is coming out now. Mm-hmm. It's in the third episode of the second season, so I've got that. And yeah, man. So,
how do you find it? Does that take you, you do a bit of America, you do...
This last season was all America.
All America.
And the season before that was around, we went like Sweden, Ukraine, mm-hmm. America, and a couple of other places, yeah.
Oh, nice. How do you find it travelling about, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to it, man. I'm doing the circuit and doing comedy. Used to traveling, like I'm good at traveling.
Yeah, you're good. You bag on the back.
Yeah.
Couple of t-shirts.
I know what I don't need now. Yeah.
Are you a spare shoes person as well?
No. And I love my sneakers as well.
Oh well, there
I'm
you
a
go.
Sneakerhead as well, but I don't take the spare ones.
I'm just a one boots guy.
Oh, you're one boots. Them boots are made for walking, brother.
These boots are made for walking.
That's a solid boot game, right?
All-purpose
there.
Boots. That's what they called me in school.
That's what they called you, the solid boot. Yeah. Shit, it's the boot kid again.
Here comes all-purpose boots.
Yeah, I can't really rock the boots, man. I'm more of a sneakerhead, but they look dope on you.
Thanks very much. That's the compliment I've been waiting for. Thanks, podcast over.
That's what you're waiting
for. This week, obviously, we have Mike Shepherd with us. Well, not so obviously, because you haven't spoken yet, Mike.
Hey, Chris. Well, I was doing that professional thing.
You
not
are
speaking.
Such a pro.
I was not going to talk until I was introduced, because that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah, from your professional
and then
radio.
And I thought, it's been a while now, and there's this whole boot riff, and I had so much boot material I wanted to get in on it.
You look like you do. You have desperate eyes of a captive.
Give me my boot chance, but no.
Come in anytime. You've already been introed. We've got a preamble.
Good.
You're fine, Mike.
Hey, all right, good. I'm good. I'm very good.
Good,
yeah.
good to have you on.
Full of beans for the job, mate.
Full of beans, sorry. Well, you two know each other already, right?
No.
Hello, I'm Mike.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
But, yeah.
Well,
we've
done a couple of gigs. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of what passes for friendship in stand-up.
Yeah. Because I was when you asked me that question, because I know you from gigs, but I thought you meant in the real world sense. I haven't like made kids in that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I haven't hanged
neither
out.
Neither has he.
Yeah. No, I have not met my kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
who wants to meet anyone?
Plane tickets to Thailand, so expensive.
Well, actually, this was the plan to get you two together finally. We consider ourselves the Tinder of of comedy podcasts.
Yeah.
Mike, you've been busy, haven't you, as well, yourself? You've been...
Yeah, I've had
busy
of recently. Today has been like the biggest media twat day of my life.
Really?
I went in the morning, I went into the BBC, I did a little bit of joke writing in the afternoon, then I went across town, and I was on radio with Eamon Holmes.
Well, yeah,
a legend. Because he's actually a real,
cool.
He's a real gentleman, very nice guy.
Imagine
a class act.
Right.
Okay, then yeah, I came to the backyard. It's like, no, I suddenly felt like I was having, oh, I'm having a busy day. It's all right.
This is your first busy day in a while.
Often I just sit by the phone. I mean, I was so busy I didn't have time to go to the loo, and I spent an hour and a half sat in a radio studio with Eamon Holmes, desperate for a shit.
Oh really?
And I thought, can I fart in front of Eamon Holmes? Like he's a, and I, he it's like a it's sort of, I'm just trying to get the level of fame. I'm like, it's disrespectful, but I mean, you know, it's not like farting in front. It's not if I shit myself in front of David Attenborough, like. Then that's it. That's the career over. I'm like, I think I probably could survive a fart.
The man spends his life looking at different species shitting themselves. So I'm pretty sure.
You're saying
that's shit in front of Attenborough.
What can he do? What fault do you think? Do you think David Attenborough has the numbers for other people? Like he could be like, I want to end your career.
Yeah, you're.
David, yeah, you got blackballed by David Attenborough. You're fucked.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know what? I went to award thing yesterday, and David Attenborough got an award twice, and everyone had to do a standing ovation for David Attenborough, right? But what made me laugh was they already knew he was going to win, but they sat him really far away.
Like a 90-year-old man.
It took him for fucking ever, and everyone was like clapping. Everyone was like, "Yeah, I get it. He's a legend, but move him closer to the fucking stage."
He's such a power-hungry bastard, isn't he?
Yeah. On the fucking yak.
Yeah.
You should have seen him, mate. Fucking Attenborough was on the fucking yak, mate. He wasn't on the yak. I don't want to get sued by David Attenborough.
It was actually Eamon Holmes.
It was a genuine gentleman, a real class act.
On the yak.
Oh, he loves a bit too, Eamon Holmes, mate. Loves the fucking two.
Those two at the back.
Yeah, those two at the back. Obviously, fucking Attenborough and Holmes.
Snorting
it
off Lorraine Kelly's back,
correct? Yeah, fuck yeah. They're living that dream. BBC bitches.
I do feel like if you annoyed David Attenborough, he could walk into any room and people would just listen to him. If he said he's out, he's off the comedy circuit, no one take him. They would. He's David Attenborough, right?
Yeah. Well, do you think he has power in the comedy commissions?
I think he has that power everywhere.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's been around so long, he was actually controller of BBC Two for a while. He's been all over.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think he needs a pass to get into the building, or do you think he just goes, come on?
Look,
he just shows his face and goes, come on, man.
Yeah.
I built this motherfucker.
I don't think he does. I think he's really sarcastic.
Gorillas let me in.
Yeah.
So, like,
when someone's stopping him, he actually starts antagonizing by being like, as you can see, David Attenborough is being turned down by some little tripe idiot.
And if we look closely, we can see the security guard being an absolute douche.
David.
Every time.
So are you doing much more TV stuff other than the Viceland moment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always like you're always having chats. But I'm kind of like just wanting to do stand up again, man.
Mm.
Like I miss doing stand up. Like I like, you know, like all the other shit's cool, but like the stand up is like where it's weird because you do TV to try and do more stand-up, but in that sense you're doing less stand-up.
Yeah, have you been out of it for a while because of it?
I'm back in it now. I've got to write a new show. I'm going on tour at the end of the year. But I didn't do stand-up for about 4 months.
Okay.
Like 5 months, I was just off. Like I couldn't, because I was filming. And it's fucking horrible.
How
man.
Did you find it coming back?
I forgot how to do it. I generally had that weird thing of like I you know what I'm saying, the concept of doing it was so abnormal, and it was like it was weird because like you sort of your brain's still going, but you just don't have it, you know what I'm saying. And it was like that weird. It was like I just felt my mouth was just saying sludge for a couple of days, and then you get back into the momentum of it. But it is like, so that's like none of them dudes that quit for like, you know, like Martin Lawrence. He quit for fucking 10 years.
He just disappeared into movies.
Yeah,
he?
And then he come back, so then recently come back and done stand up. You go, fuck man, leave for 10 years, and the game changes quick.
Yeah,
but I even thought, you know, like there's some stuff I would, you know, and there's also, it's when you stop doing it, you still progress mentally, but your act hasn't.
Mm.
So you go and you do bits, and your bits just sound shit coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe this.
Did I used to say this?
Yeah.
I used to say this every night.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I used to think this was good.
Does it feel like rhetoric? Like you just repeat something?
It's not rhetoric, but you know, like there's no heart in it because you haven't done that material for so long. And even like, I, you know, you could, you know, 5 months, you're a different dude. Just, you know, because you've been away, I've seen some shit. you know, you get some different perspectives.
Mm. You got new stories as
well. Yeah, you got new stories, and you come back and you're just like, I have no relation to this bit. It's like someone else wrote this bit for me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When you dig yourself into media world as well, you kind of get surrounded by a lot more people who aren't feeding the real world stories, like the things you kind of built your comedy on a little bit, I think.
Yeah, so you're just surrounded by pricks telling you stories about whether you can fart in front of Eamon Holmes.
Yeah, I know. These people.
It doesn't connect me to the real world.
Sometimes I just sit around in your podcast.
I missed comics as well.
Yeah.
That's one thing I did miss. I mean, I loved my crew and that, but I missed comics.
Sometimes you just want to sit in a room with miserable bastards complaining
about money. Yeah, but then you complain about money, and also, like, there's a relatability, there's an underhand, there's some type of conversation to be had where it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, we can, you know, you can, I don't have to explain who that promoter is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've noticed, obviously, with comedians on the podcast, David being a stand-up, and myself, I just write. But you can see this amazing camaraderie in the whole thing. You know, you've all charged into the same battle. You all know what Vietnam was like.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess the majority of people get along as well, I guess.
Yeah. So now you're back. So you're back in the circuit again. You're building up for a new show.
Yeah. I'm doing Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I'm doing a tour.
Before 1 hour.
Yeah.
Got a title?
Vape Lord.
Ooh. Nice. Good
Vape
title.
Lord. Yeah. So it's just my posters is a bunch of photos of me vaping, but as like a jazz album. So it's like it's like a smoky room.
You sat on a stool.
Yeah. It's like really serious. Like I look like a jazz musician with a cigarette, but I'm just vaping.
Somewhere between that and Dave Allen.
Yeah. That's the vibe I was going for. Yeah, so I'm going to, it's called Vape Lord. Yeah. You going up, mate?
Not me. No, I'm going to maybe just do a week of hanging around.
Have you done that album before?
Yeah, I did a couple. It's been a couple of years. So okay. I did 2013 and 14 and 15. I did the full thing.
Yeah, how you liking writing at the Beeb?
It's the most fun. I love being in a writer's room. Actually, yeah. I think that is next to possibly like hanging around backstage at a comedy club.
Yeah.
Hanging out in a writer's room is good fun when you've got five people all sort of desperately trying to get a page full of jokes that are the best possible thing in, you know, an hour or 2 hours.
That's my goal, is to get to the writer's room. Like, so far everything I write is just solo. I work with a producer, I work with a director, but just the solo, I just want to get in that room, you know, just work with other writers' minds and just make things better and better and better. That's my next.
The writer's room is a lot of fun. I think that's the...
They're rare here though.
Well, I mean, I think I've heard stories. I don't know what the experience really is like in the States, but people say that in the States there'll be like 30 people in the writer's room. So famously, things like Friends, like the gag, will have, you know, every different permutation. Or you think about The Simpsons, how there's beautifully in The Simpsons, there's the gag, then there's the gag on the gag, then there's the twist on the gag, then there's the gag on the twist on the gag, and like this thing is built up into a. It's because you've got 30 people in the writer's room. Although I've heard differing reports that say, you know, you've got 30 people in a writer's room, but there's still only five of them writing the fucking jokes, you know, and the other people are all there because they want their name on the, you know, script or something like that. So I mean, it's generally seems to be about five, like, you know, maybe get five or six people in a British writer's room.
Mm.
But even then, like, it's nice when you get to that read through at the end of, you know, end of like a 2 day writing session, you've got the script out and people are just suggesting the little twist.
So when it's,
you know.
So for the Beeb, is it, so it's like, is it one particular show you work on, or do you have to do the different shows?
So all the radio topical shows.
Oh, the radio topical ones, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
like
the Friday night at 6:30, which again, I mean, it's I think it's amazing stuff. I mean, I know, you know, radio, you know, it doesn't pay as well as telly, but you the audiences you get,
it's a big
fan base, man. 6:30 on a Friday, there's like a regular comedy satire slot. So there's the Now Show, the News Quiz, which I think is great fun.
I think that's good. I like Mark Thomas' show.
Oh yeah,
the travel show. But it's like, because there's a thing in comedy where so in Edinburgh, if I ask someone, how was your show today? And they go, it was a Radio 4 crowd.
Polite laughter.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that there is enough of a fan base of Radio 4 that we have put a whole range of that's those people that come. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's enough of them that where they can be a crowd.
But that is, you know, it makes a difference. I have, you know, since writing for shows like the News Quiz and the Now Show and things like that, going down and doing like little, you know, sort of out of London gigs, doing like kind of smaller festivals and things like that, you'll get a crowd because people love the Radio 4. And that show on the slot on 6:30 on a Friday, is there's 5 million listeners, which, like, if you know, that's TV, you wouldn't get anything approaching that these days. So yeah, and podcasts. Like, this is a weird thing. It's like it, America thinks it's inventing, you know, podcast again. We've been doing, you know.
Because someone was telling me that, like, I think, who was I talking to? I don't know, it was like a producer that was working on Ed Morrish, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
And he was telling me how they've got that thing of where it's like 10 o'clock is the experimental spot where they have to, I think they had Little Britain and all that type of shit.
Mm.
And then the other type, so it's like they've got like...
Yeah, so like 11 o'clock
at night. But then if people, if they don't put something a bit weirder at 11 o'clock, people will complain.
Yeah,
like you get the old women complaining and shit, going like, "This was an experimental." Like, they really take that shit for real.
People get us, and because people, you know, again, if you see people do jokes about Radio 4 on, and even in Radio 4 programs, people like jokes about it, and they imagine, we're so cosy, we're so middle class. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a real range of acts you get on there, and it's, you know, there's a you know, the panels are pretty diverse, you know, more so than you see on TV, in terms of representation. And like, and they will do, yeah. They've got late night slots, and they've got to fill them. You know, there's comedy on Radio 4 six nights of the week, maybe seven nights of the week. And you know, there's some lovely, mad, fucked up stuff going on 11 o'clock at night. Even recently, Harry Hill's latest series, Life on Egg, where he's the governor of a prison that's on a giant egg in the middle of the sea. It's these things.
So that this is,
and all
the
Tim Key's stuff I first heard on Radio 4, and I thought, this man is a god.
Wow. And, so it's kind of like a bastion for new, exciting, quirky comedy.
Sorry, I've just given a really soapy tit wank to something I really like.
Put the gun down, Mr. Attenborough. Sir Attenborough.
A soapy tit wank. If we're going to really break down the tit wanks, that's why I was trying to lead the conversation to tit wanks.
Yeah, yeah. If we can get it back.
If I'm taking a dry tit wank, it is grudging.
So yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, take it.
Oh, you would never be like, no, I'm all right. I'll take it, but a soapy.
You think
tit-wank.
I'm going to leave those tits unwanked?
Yeah. No. You're fairly mistaken.
That sounds like your MO. No tits shall go unwanked.
No one left behind.
Yeah, it's going to be the next Tory policy, I think. So that'll get a lot of Britain on side, I think, these days. So how long have you been doing stand-up for, by the way, Charlie? Like,
about 6-7 years now.
6-7 years?
Yeah, about that.
Wow, and then just to take that break. And then, is that the first time you've taken a big break away? Like,
No, I mean, since going full-time, that's the longest I've taken off.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was that's the longest I took enough since that. I mean, I was fucking around with stand-up at like 17, 18, you know, but I started taking it serious about 20.
That's young. So yeah. You made it sound like you went years.
No, I was young. I'd done my first show at like 17.
Really?
Like 16, 17.
Where was that?
Where was it?
Mm.
That was some shithole in fucking West End. Some fucking basement. But yeah, and then I was doing the Lions then. Up in King's Cross, you pay your £4 and get to go do 5 minutes.
Oh, that's right.
You used to pay to go.
It was a whole pay to play.
I think Lion's Den is the one good pay to play.
Yeah, it's only one. It used to be good. Yeah, but even, I mean, and it was weird because I think then I don't know if I was just too early in comedy that it wasn't seen as that controversial because it was the only one. I think then a couple of other clubs tried to start doing pay to play. And then bring a friend, because I was like sort of lucky where when I came off the open mic circuit is when it became all of this bring friend, pay to play shit.
Oh, yeah, bringers.
Yeah, because when I was open, it was bringers, but at the same time, so bringers is when you have to bring a friend to a show to get on stage, for people that don't know what bringers are. Kind of, we're just talking hard shop here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We could do some hard shop, but anything else, I'll explain it in the podcast notes.
But they were sort of, it was like light rules of that. Like, it was a bringer, but they'd let you on if you didn't. But then apparently, what I heard is when I left the open mic, it was they fucking locked down and that shit.
Really?
And I heard it was like more hardcore bringers and stuff. But luckily, I was gone by then.
Mm.
So I think it makes it harder. So.
Yeah, are they still operating now? Or
it's still a thing. I see people complain about it on Facebook. I mean, it's
your comedy collective.
Yeah,
I remember the old Comic Con this. Yeah. Oh, baby. I haven't seen that shit. I haven't been in Comic Con forever, man.
It's a weird thing, is that sometimes, like, comedians' Facebook groups, there are some things where you're like, I only ever see these people on Facebook.
Yeah.
And never at gigs. Like, yeah. I don't know why. But some people are.
I have done 12 gigs and I think. That's okay. Yeah. Great.
I can imagine, like, Facebook groups for comedians being quite unfunny, ironically.
Just yeah, it's sort of like, it goes, so there's different, like, from what I remember of the Facebook comedian, because I haven't been on for fucking ever, but from what I remember, there was dudes asking the sort of, set, like, so you get someone who's brand new and they would ask the same questions, like, how can I get some spots, rare, and they were pretty, you know, amicable, oh, you should try hit this guy, whatever, I'm looking for a spot. Then it would always be, like, sort of the same person with a complaint of, like, you know, this guy, it's a bringer or it's a pay to play. That's like once, like it was like once every 6 months, someone would, or twice every 6 months, someone would complain about a bringer and it would be like 1,000 fucking thread. I think they're great, I think they're shit. It was just fucking funny, yeah.
So it's a good place to find out where it's good to go and just.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, if you're starting out.
Mm. But now, obviously, you're back, you've got your. If you got your Edinburgh show ready, or you
no, fuck no, I ain't wrote none of that shit.
Are you a night before?
It's only
February. You're doing well to have a title.
Yeah,
you got a title and a poster
and
picture.
A poster, yeah.
I think like, I've got about
it's a movie already.
I think I've got about like say right now I have 30 minutes of stuff, and I think I'm gonna have to that once that gets refined and trimmed, that'll probably go down to like 20.
Yeah. Or just say it slower.
Yeah, I'll say it slower. I'll just wait. So yeah, so I've got like 20. Maybe, but then even then, I'll probably take another 5 out of that. So,
what do you do to build it up? Do you just sort of wait for it to come to you, or do you sit and just try and hammer down?
A bit of both, man. Like, I can't. I'm like, sometimes I'll write. So, what I do is I write the end of the joke, and then I write the sort. I write where I want to come to, and I write the premise, and then I don't have a middle, and then I go on stage and work out the middle.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you do the middle on stage.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of riff the middle.
That's really brave.
Yeah, like, so I have beats, so I know it's like, okay, this part, that's the premise, or that's the beginning. I know what happens in the middle, kind of.
Mm.
And trust yourself to find your way there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, I kind of relax about bombing now.
Yeah.
If I'm working some new shit out, because you see the bigger goal now of, well, this is for tour. So fuck, you know, I bomb on a fucking Monday in Battersea, who gives a shit, you know what I'm saying? So but I'm trying to do something new, you know. So yeah, so I'll riff the bit out, like, to try and keep it natural, but I kind of like to sit there and write. I can't write methodically. I can't do like that and write gags, because even when I do write jokes, like fully formed jokes, they never come out like I write it, because I still riff it.
Yeah,
I just, you know what I'm saying, but I have the beats that I kind of know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you've got to be quite loose, haven't you, as well? Because otherwise you perform it too rigid, and then it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't have the passion behind it.
There's no passion behind it, no realness, and you know, because I think when I riff it, I find a real feeling of it. You know what I'm saying? If I have a bit, I find out what I really feel about the subject if I riff it.
Because
I think if I write it, I've still got pretense, and I've still got fucking, like, you know what I'm saying?
You want to see how your body feels about
I want to see how I feel saying it out loud. I think sometimes you can believe something, and to say it out loud, then you go, what the fuck am I saying? You know what I'm saying, though?
Oh, I'm going to back away from this.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, cause sometimes, because I'm a comic, I spend too much time by myself. Like, I'll make up a whole opinion, go, that's what I believe. And I'll say it on stage, I go, I don't believe this.
I spent a month inside before writing a 1 hour drama coming out, thinking it's the greatest thing ever, having it people, and just realizing, oh no, this is terrible, I'm insane, I've gone mad. Just
But you know,
I've given myself Stockholm syndrome.
So much wasted
but
time.
But that's good, though. Like, you know, so you know, but so yeah, so the, so in terms of riffing, I don't worry, because it's like, you know, and bombing is fucking part and parcel, really.
Yeah, it's how you learn and grow,
But yeah, like I'm enjoying it, trying to write the new bits. So I try and like, I do it in bits, and then try and find the through line, then write through the through line of it.
Nice.
I don't really write like thematic, I don't really do story.
Do you treat every hour like a comedy album? Is it always all new in the hour? Or do you like to slip in some greatest hits?
No, new.
All new.
Yeah,
all
new. New. I think it's like, for me, it's like, well, obviously I've only done 1 hour. That was my first hour. So, and that was mostly new bits as well. Even though because the first hour you can do your greatest hits, which I think is great. I think, you know, if that's how you feel, then you should do it. Like, I don't judge that. But for me, I kind of thought like, you know, I kind of want to do something a bit Mm. I try to be, when I write an hour, I try to be honest about that year I write it. So it's like, I try to be, this is how good I am now. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah, this is how bad I am now, or this is how I feel now. So I try to, you know what I'm saying? Because I think if I do old shit, which I know is a banker, that's not a true reflection of who I am now,
yeah,
or how good I am now. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I try to do, so I try to be, I try and, you know, improve and shit.
Yeah, with everyone. I suppose if you're doing your new stuff, you know if you're getting better,
yeah,
and where, how to get better.
Yeah, so man, I think, you know, it's all progression. I think, you know, I think we look at it as this year, this hour is the fuck. It's like, bro, you have a lifetime full of hours, didn't you? Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I don't worry about this hour. I'm worried about, as long as I keep doing better. You know what I'm saying?
Just try.
I mean, I say all this now. Come fucking then, we'll be a week before Edinburgh. I'm like, what's that old bit I was saying back?
There's something in there.
Yeah. Where's this old bit I was saying? Like, you're
bringing up Mike. I hear you write jokes.
I'll be hitting that Mike and that. Like, him have a couple gags with that. You know what I'm saying? So I say all that shit now, you know. Yeah, but, you know, so I try. You know, I'm trying to. So this hour, like, I'm kind of like enjoying writing it. I think once I, because I've sort of been off trying to take a break from the doc, so. Like, Monday is when I start back in comedy.
Right.
You know, from like the little break I took. I took like a week and a half off. And so I'm back Monday. And so that's when I'm going to link up with my director and bang it out. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, you got a director for it?
Yeah,
as well.
He done my first hour. It's a guy, Paul Byrne.
Yeah?
Yeah, he works on a couple of things. He works on like Larry Dean, John Hastings. I think he used to do Brendan Burns once back in the day.
Oh, wow, the trilogy.
Yeah. He works in a couple shows. He worked in a thing. Did he do Russian Conti? Then a couple shows. But yeah, he's like a real dope director.
Wow, and he just helps guide you.
Yeah, Paul Byrne, yeah, he's dope. He's Ed Burns' brother. Ah! Yeah. But he does Andrew Maxwell's. That's the guy he does for years.
Wow.
He done like Andrew's for like, good 10 years he done Andrews.
So he's got a track record. So
yeah. I mean, solid fucking director, man. And it's good because he doesn't write bits for me. What he does is he will say, you know, someone to bounce ideas off, and he will say shit like, how do you feel about this? And then what we do is we debate an idea and try and make each other laugh while debating it. And then we try and, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. So just make each other better.
So we're debating ideas. He goes, how do you feel about this? And again, I mean, I'm making it sound like I'm talking about big subjects. I mean, it's like, it can be just, you know, why, you know, how do you feel about vagina? And I say, what does that feel about pussy? I'm saying,
how do you feel about a tit wank?
How do you feel about a soapy tit wank? And we'll debate a soapy tit wank for fucking ever. You know what I'm saying? That's how we try and find new angles of it.
That's your next starting subject. I mean, yes. Just go in.
I mean, I found my third hour is going to be soapy tit wank now. over the dry tit wank.
Walk in, slide up Johnson & Johnson's on the table.
Mighty bubble bath, mate.
Have you got anything coming up for the audience to?
My show's out, which it comes out online, and it's also on every streaming website. So we're legally streaming that shit.
Audience,
yeah, audience, watch that shit. But no, and I'm doing the tour at the end of the year.
This is a deeply irresponsible attitude towards your own intellectual property.
But I've also got a tour coming out. I'll be touring in September,
and people can just print their own tickets.
Yeah, you can print your own tickets to that shit. Or you can only buy it from a ticket house. I've only sold my tickets to ticket house to sell to you. Is what I've done. So fuck off, because you've got a free show.
Mike, is there anything we could steal of yours?
not particularly that you can thieve. There are free podcasts. I tell you what, there's all kinds of free downloads for things like News Jack, new series of which just started this week. I mean, when's this podcast going out? Probably about six weeks' time.
So I'll put this out tomorrow.
Oh, right, this will go out tomorrow. Oh, we'll have a listen to that. It's got Angela Barnes in it. She's very good. I've been helping her write her monologue for the first episode of the show. She's a very funny, excellent act. There's a variety of sketches. That's an open submission sketch show, so people in the general public send in their sketches and gags, and we edit them and select them and give it a go. So that's kind of a unique thing. There's things like the news quiz. That's got a series going on with Miles Jupp, who I think is an absolute powerhouse of a man. And what am I going to do? I'm all over the place. Follow me on Twitter. That's what they
do. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
At Mike Shephard.
Shephard, fantastic. I'll put it in the bio.
At Jamali Medics. I'm there. You can message me up. I'll most likely message back.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for coming on, guys.
Sweet, bro.
been a pleasure, mate. It's been a pleasure. Ha 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 ha!